through the many other ways in which he speaks to us. For instance, I have heard God speaking loud and clear through my thoughts, through good books, through expressive music, through conversations with people, through the activities of my grandchildren, and through the beauty and the wonder of nature. I know that without a doubt, God is speaking, and I know when he is speaking. The still small voice of spirit speaking within the depths of my being sometimes manifests itself as a thundering roar, and I listen. One afternoon, I was fretting over a problem that my daughter was experiencing, which of course was none of my business, but you know how mothers are. My concern for her was sincere, and I thought the situation could be helped by a little prayer from me. I love my daughter, as you all know, and I was disturbed over her upset state of mind. But later that evening, I received a call from a dear friend in another state who just called to chat for a few minutes. Our conversation had absolutely nothing to do with my disturbed thoughts. But right out of the clear blue and concerning something that had something to do with her own affairs, she said, "And I just remembered what Jesus said. What is that to thee? Follow me." I clearly understood the message. God wanted me to let go of the concern that I was feeling about my daughter's problem and take care of my own affairs. And after the short chat with my friend, I quickly offered a short prayer of gratitude to God for his enlightenment and for his guidance. I thanked him for the awareness that I was free to release all thoughts of anxiety and go about my own business. At that moment, I was free. I didn't have to worry about the problem anymore. It knew it was in God's hands. I had listened when God spoke to me through my friend, and the answer was crystal clear. I am convinced that the art of listening to the voice of God and obeying its message is well worth developing. And how do we know when God is speaking to us? When we keep in touch with God through prayer and through meditation, there is a kind of conviction that comes. It is a deep inner knowing that we are in tune with the Christ of our being and that all is well. We are open and we are receptive to every message from our Creator. Something clicks in our mind, and we just simply know. However, sometimes God sends the messages more than once, just to make sure that we have received it. Often when I am trying to find a solution to a problem, I have searched my mind for a workable answer. I simply relax, and I just let the entire situation go. I like to say, "Father, I have done all that I humanly know how to do, and now it's in your hands. Please show me the way." Then I let go of the entire situation. I go about my regular routine activities. And sometimes the answer will come like a lightning bolt when my mind is thinking about something totally unrelated. Most of the time, it comes first thing in the morning while I'm in the shower. Or I will find the answer while reading a book. Some sentence or phrase or word will suddenly stand out from the rest, and the answer or the solution will seem so clear that I wonder why I didn't think of it myself earlier. Perhaps the same thought or idea will be presented later on in a book, on another page, or in another paragraph. And by this time, I am pretty sure that God is trying to get a message across to me. If I'm a little reluctant to accept the answer, I'll be nudged again and again, ever so gently. And eventually, I will be required to face myself and to listen to what God is saying. If the message comes only once, and it comes with such a definite form that it cannot be mistaken, I listen. Most of you know by now that I am what people describe as a late bloomer. I didn't start coming into my own until I was 27, and I'm still trying to come into my own. But But at the age of 27, my husband then, Alan, taught me to drive a car. It's my first experience in learning to drive. It was both scary and exciting, but I was a quick learner and soon I learned to drive, and I earned my driver's license and I purchased my very first car. It was a brand new silver Toyota Corolla, and I was thrilled to be able to take myself wherever I wanted to go, whenever I wanted to go. At the time, I was working at the Geological Survey in Reston, Virginia, which at the time was in the wilderness of a two-lane, windy country road. Up until that time, before I learned to drive and get my own car, I was a member of a carpool. And that carpool took me to and from work. And the carpool was great, and I enjoyed it. But having my own car was the very best. I immediately started driving myself to work, and without any hesitation, I navigated those country roads at 0:30 in the morning without any trouble, without any seatbelt on. Now, back in the 70s, wearing the seatbelts was recommended. It was not mandatory. I never wore my seatbelt because, you know, it would wrinkle my clothes. One fall morning, I was headed out to work in my little six-month-old car, as usual, and a voice inside of me kept saying, "Donna, fasten your seatbelt. Put your seatbelt on." I stood still for a moment, and then I began to argue with the instruction. "I never wear a seatbelt. It will wrinkle my clothes. I'm a safe driver, and no one is on this road at this hour in the morning but me." But the voice was insistent. "Donna, put on your seatbelt." And always the obedient child in my mother's house, I sucked it up and I put the seatbelt on. I traveled the familiar road without a care in the world, taking in the scenery as the sun came up. When all of a sudden, I lost control of the car, and I slammed head on into a huge tree that was not going to yield. I hit my chin on the top of the steering wheel, and the blood came gushing out. I sat there for a minute, stunned, and then I laid on the horn, hoping that someone would hear it and come to help. The owner of the tree came out, assessed the situation, called an ambulance, and waited with me until the ambulance came to take me away. Apparently, I had hit a small patch of black ice that sent me careening into the tree. I totaled my car, and I received 12 stitches under the chin. It was a small price to pay. Who knows what would have happened had I not listened to that still small voice of love and protection. How much more specific could God have been than to tell me to fasten my seatbelt? God has infinite wisdom and knowledge to bestow on us. Often in our ignorance or non-thinking, we hinder and we stop the flow of His messages. But when we are permeated with a lively faith, His messages of love and guidance flow through us like a beautiful river that has found smooth passage through our life stream. Believe that an answer to every situation is already available. Know that the answer you need is now on its way to protect and to manifest in your life. Faith is the spiritual assistance that gives us the power to do the seemingly impossible. It is a magnetic power that draws our heart's desire to us from the invisible spiritual substance. Faith is the deep inner knowing that the answer which is sought is already there for the taking. It is not so much a matter of the mind as it is a matter of the heart. And sometimes when we try hard to understand God as a principle, we lose sight of Him as a presence. Let your heart hold fast to the faith that God is present in your life, wanting and waiting to help you in a way that will be made very plain. In my personal life, when I began to believe and realize that I was a child of God and heir to all His good, I also accepted the truth that I could begin to manifest this good in my life here and now if I listened to His guidance. Every effort brought me closer in harmony with all of life, and the beauty of God's magnificent creation filled my soul. Trees moved in their branches at me, and the flowers nodded their heads in the gentle breeze, and I became a part of the air that I breathe. I could feel the all-pervading presence of God in every plant, every animal, every person, and every thing. What a beautiful realization it was. What serenity and peace and joy that faith brings. Remember that God is ever present, and no situation arises where He cannot be found. If God's presence seems to be lost, it is in reality our own thinking that is misguided. When we draw back in alignment with our indwelling Christ, we realize that God is always present. He was never lost. All we need to master any situation is always available to us if we will listen to hear what is given. I believe there are hundreds and thousands of ways in which God speaks to people. Undoubtedly, He is speaking to us all of the time. And all we need to do is tune in and listen. But most of us are so involved in our everyday affairs that we don't take the time. Then when a problem arises and we're not in practice and we can't listen, or else we fail to hear the message we are given, it is necessary to keep ourselves attuned to God so that we can hear Him when He speaks. The methods of doing this are varied, just as people are varied and different and unique. For some, the power of prayer opens the most effective channel. Their communication with God takes place in the innermost part of their being. Through prayer, their mind activity is stepped up and their consciousness becomes synchronized with the Christ mind. God is recognized as the Father, the Creator of all there is. We know that good always exists in divine mind as ideas, and the desire is to bring these ideas, solutions forth into manifestation. It's not necessary to beg God for an answer, but it is important to become still and to think about the inexhaustible resources of infinite mind, its presence in all of its fullness, and God's constant readiness to manifest an answer for you when His laws are obeyed. This is what Jesus meant when He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all else will be given unto you." When seeking an answer through prayer, close the door on all your thoughts and interests of the outer world and go deep within to the secret place of your indwelling Christ. Many people find their avenue of communion with God through meditation. They use the spiritual approach to God by shutting out material vision and focusing their thoughts on the inner self. Our mind, through bad habits of wandering and dissipation, often draws us to circumstances and to things that we really don't want. That's why it's so important to master our mind and cultivate positive, beneficial thoughts. If even for a few minutes each day your eyes are closed and the golden light of spirit is visualized pouring upon you and flooding your inner and outer being, an unfailing law is set into motion, the law of cause and effect. The divine flame of truth, which is in every person's heart, is fanned into greater manifestation. By lighting up the resting place of the soul through quiet and contemplative meditation, you open the door to spiritual sunshine, and the truth of your being sends forth love and kindness and the right action, just as it lighted the window, set forth the rays of sunlight into the darkness. The light will shine upon any problem with divine illumination. The call compels the answer, and God is always listening for the call. Meditation is not something to dismiss. It should be a meaningful practice to fill your life so that you can live in the peace and harmony that results from close communion with God. As you meditate on the presence of God within and the presence of God without, you enter into a great silence of communion. And then you experience and you feel the allness of His light and His presence. Periods of prayer and meditation are truly times of food for the soul. It is through prayer and through meditation that we learn to practice the presence, or we begin to see God, the good, in everything in the universe as well as in our own lives. We begin to listen to the inner voice and use the God qualities that we have to face any situation that might confront us. We become more kind and more considerate, more forgiving of others through listening to what God is saying. Our life, as well as that of those we touch, is gently enriched. Chaos and confusion are banished, for they cannot flourish in the presence of God. You have a need, you have desire, the answer to a question or solution to a problem. Speak the word, declare the truth, acknowledge with confidence that God is your source in every need. Acknowledge that the spirit of love and wisdom and power is right now, this very minute, operating in your affairs and bringing right answers to every situation. By acknowledging and affirming truth, you are lifted out of the false thinking into the consciousness of the reality of spirit. Just as physical exercise and add firmness and strength to the body, so does acknowledging and affirming truth establish the idea of manifesting good firmly in your mind. You have such a power from divine mind in any direction as you have the ability to grasp and to use. It all depends on you, the intent of your purpose, the clearness of your vision, the purity of your thought, the strength of your desire. Be persistent. Hang in there. Like Jacob wrestling with the angel, persist. Hold out your cup until it is filled. Pour out blessings and thanks that your desire is already accomplished through seemingly every mortal thought and error tries to beset you. Go on, keep on going on. And as they say in the United Kingdom, keep calm and carry on. The answer is here now. Believe that the answer to your need, your desire, is, not will be, but is, already answered. Use positive words and positive thoughts in everything you do. Fill the seeming blank spaces about you with the thought of God, God's infinite good. And then remember that the spoken word is like a seed. It must grow. Learn, leave the how, the when, and the where to God. Your job is to say what you want and to give forth blessings, knowing that the moment you have asked, you have already received. Look to God for results, listen to His direction, and then receive God's fulfillment. And be thankful. Your attitude of gratitude awakens in your higher realization of the omnipresence and the power of God. Praise is the mental attitude that stimulates, quickens, and whirls into action and establishes in character the ideas of which it is the vehicle. Every atom of creation responds to praise. Through the inherent law of mind action, you increase whatever you give praise to. You can praise a fearful heart into peace and trust, want to supply, a problem into perfect solution. Give thanks in all things, recognizing that God is all good, and in everything God works for the good of those who love Him. Birds sing, flowers bloom, clouds form and dissolve, and you are part of all of these things. Give praise, be thankful. You are a part of the miracle of life, and all is well. Brother Lawrence was an excellent example of one who stayed in tune with God all the time. During all of his working hours, he practiced the presence by being aware of God and all things about him. Consequently, he was perfectly guided in everything that he did. Brother Lawrence said that we should establish ourselves in a sense of God's presence by continually conversing with him, that it was a shameful thing to quit a conversation with God to think of trifles. He was a serene and happy person, giving out warmth and love to those in the monastery and to all those with whom he came in contact each and every day. If we tune our mind to the mind of God each day and we acknowledge his presence in our life, we can give forth love instead of malice, and we can count our blessings until they number into the thousands. We can have a peaceful knowing that all is right in the world, regardless of what we see with our human eyes. If we listen to God's guidance, we can hear when he speaks. There are many times in which God can communicate with us. It does not matter whether he speaks audibly or as the still small voice within. What is important is receiving a definite answer when we have a question. Live with calm assurance and listen, for God is always speaking. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment to get comfortable in your chair and rest your feet on the floor and place your hands comfortably in your lap or at your side and just take a moment to relax. Relax and be still. Be still and quiet your mind and let go of all of those things outside of this peaceful and holy place. Let go of all those worrisome thoughts. Let go of everything that's swirling around in your mind as you plan for the upcoming week. Let go of any anger or resentment, any jealousy, any other ill will that you may be harboring, and just be still. Be very still and go within to the center of your being where our Father waits, and he welcomes you with his open arms, his unconditional love, and his powerful peace. Father, I know that you are speaking to me every moment of every day. You speak to me in a still small voice from the very center of my being. And you speak to me through the voices of children, friends, and strangers. Your voice is in the call of the wind and in the gentle sprinkle of the rain and in the trees and the flowers and the grasses. Your voice fills heaven and earth. It is the source of guidance, comfort, praise, and peace. Your voice is a source of strength, courage, and conviction. I know this, and yet I allow myself to be drawn into the chaos and confusion of the world, and I forget to open my spiritual ears to listen to you speak. I am often the wayward child who says, "I stopped listening long ago. Why are you still speaking?" I no longer choose to tune you out. I seek to know you and commune with you so that I may hear the words that you spoke to Jesus. This is my Son, whom I love and with whom I am well pleased. For the awareness of your presence in us and through us, Father, I give you thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you his infinite eternal life.